This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Arrests in a high-profile murder. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Monday, August 29. Thanks for spending time with us, and here's what's up this hour.
Two men out on parole have been charged with the shooting death of basketball star Dwayne Wade's cousin. It was part of another weekend of deadly violence in Chicago.
Expect flight delays in Los Angeles. Airport officials at LAX closed terminals for about 2 hours last night after erroneous reports of gunfire.
On the campaign trail, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is trying to clarify his immigration policy.
And the city's trying to get rid of dirt bike riders.
What happens oftentimes is you'll have groups of riders, sometimes, you know, 20, 30, 50, up to 100, riding together through city streets, weaving in and out of traffic, blowing through red lights, popping wheelies, and the police say it's just a huge public safety hazard.
Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert on the crackdown on dirt bikes on city streets. He's here in about 25 minutes. Well, what a way to start off the work week. If you're flying out of Los Angeles today, your flight might already be delayed. At least two terminals were evacuated late yesterday after reports of gunfire that turned out to be incorrect.
We immediately started running, went through an emergency exit that was close to a gate, ran down onto the runway, and got behind a catering vehicle. So that's all we could think about doing is just getting safe and getting out of there.
The false alarm lasted about 2 hours. Airport authorities said in a Twitter post that an individual dressed in a Zorro costume with mask and all had been detained. ABC News spoke to the guy.
They searched me and found out that I had no weapons or anything on me. And what happened was that somebody called and said there's a man in dark clothing out here. And they got scared, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of a not normal thing to see a guy in a Zorro costume in an airport. It's not clear if this was the reason for the erroneous reports of gunshots. U.S. airport security officials, as you know, have been on heightened alert in recent months following deadly attacks at airports in Belgium and Turkey. On the campaign trail, vice presidential nominee Mike Pence has been trotted out to defend the immigration policy of running mate Donald Trump, who has sent some mixed signals in the past week. Mr. Pence, the Indiana governor, says Mr. Trump's immigration position is consistent but responsive to practical considerations. On CNN yesterday, he said Mr. Trump's positions on core matters of immigration policy remain solid and that securing the border was chief among those.
And we will have a mechanism for dealing with people in this country that you heard the word humanely again. It's going to be fair. It's going to be tough. But there'll be no path to legalization, no path to citizenship unless people leave the country.
In the past week, Mr. Trump sent mixed signals about his plan for the approximately 11 million illegals in the U.S., indicating he might ease off from earlier proposals to deport them. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump says he'll make a major speech Wednesday in Arizona on illegal immigration. Well, much of Donald Trump's presidential campaign has seemed ad hoc, as you know, from the off-the-cuff remarks to campaign staff turnover. What would that mean when it comes to advancing his legislative agenda if he wins the election in November? Could he count on Republicans to support him? Here's John Bennett, White House correspondent for Roll Call. John, what have you looked at?
When you start to think about how he would govern and what he would ask Congress to pass, it's unclear whether Republicans, even House Republicans, would consistently support any legislative agenda that he would have. Over in the Senate, it gets even harder. A lot of those folks on the Republican side, you know, they tend to be a little more pragmatic. They tend to be a little more willing to cut deals. And it's even harder to see how he gets to 60 votes, the key procedural vote. On legislation still requires 60 votes in the Senate. And as one longtime expert, former White House aide, told me last week, it's hard to see how Trump even gets to 50 on some of his more, shall we say, bold pronouncements.
Wow. All right. And as you said in the story, too, part of this is because it doesn't seem to come, his agenda, in a neat little package.
That's right. As folks I talked to last week said, to paraphrase them, you know, his agenda is really all over the place. You know, his tax plan has some similarities to Ryan's, but Ryan hasn't exactly endorsed it. Trump hasn't exactly endorsed Ryan's plan or said, we took this from Ryan's plan. I really like this about it. You know, there's common ground to be had on this other issue, which is usually what you would expect. You would expect the nominee would, you know, it would be his agenda for the most part, but as kind of an olive branch to leaders on the Hill in his own party or her own party, they would say, you know, I took this from Senator X's plan. I took this from Speaker Ryan's plan. Mm. And that kind of sets the tone for when they get in office and they're ready to sit down and start negotiating legislation. Or, you know, you would probably want to have some bills ready to go. And the Washington Post reported this weekend that Secretary Clinton is already doing some of this. She's already kind of crafting a legislative agenda. And that's going to be, and that will include some outreach to Democrats on the Hill. Trump's not doing that. He's not praising folks like Speaker Ryan. And so it's hard to see exactly how his agenda aligns with congressional Republicans. And that means he and his team, if they did have a lot of legislative asks, they would have to go about that painstaking process of finding 218 votes in the House every time, finding 60 votes in the Senate. And, you know, that can take longer than, you know, writing the actual bills.
Wow. We're speaking with John Bennett, White House correspondent at Roll Call. His piece is called Could a President Trump Count on Republicans to Pass His Agenda? What's the reference in the story, John, to what do you call the Big Eight?
Well, the Big Eight, those are the national security committees and the chairman and the ranking members of those. And, you know, on things like even immigration that falls under the Homeland Security Committee. And but what we were kind of thinking about there, you know, the ISIS fight and some of the things he said about Russia and NATO, the leaders of those committees, while they can't block everything a president does, they do have the power to delay it, drag things out, withhold the funding. And, you know, if Trump, you know, says he's going to stop paying for NATO, the leaders of those committees have ways to influence and kind of slow down those kinds of things. And, you know, it may come down to something on NATO funding where the leaders of those committees just try to drag it out and essentially wait out a President Trump and, you know, keep most of that money flowing to NATO and kind of banking that there would be another president in 4 years. So that's the kind of powers that Congress has, especially the funding. You know, Congress has the power of the purse.
Right. I thought it was interesting, too, the way you touched on the Trump family with his children being some of his closest advisors. What kind of role will that play, or would it play?
Yeah, I don't see that changing a whole lot. He seems to really keep the family close. They seem to want to keep an eye on what Dad is doing.
Thanks, John. John Bennett, White House correspondent at Roll Call. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office are never convenient, so why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. Currently, over 600,000 small businesses are using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com today. Go to Stamps.com. Then before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in DEAL. That's Stamps.com. Then enter the code DEAL. Hey, reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can also follow me directly with the username @GordonDeal. Chicago police have arrested two brothers and charged them with the fatal shooting of basketball star Dwayne Wade's cousin as she pushed a baby in a stroller. 26-year-old Darwin Sorrells and 22-year-old Darren Sorrells are facing charges of first-degree murder and attempted murder in the death of Nikia Aldridge, a 32-year-old mother of four. Authorities describe the brothers as documented gang members who are convicted felons out of prison on parole at the time of the shooting. Here's Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson.
These two offenders are the prime example of the challenge we face here in Chicago with repeat gun offenders that don't care who they shoot, don't care whose life they take, and clearly don't fear the consequences of their actions.
Ms. Aldridge was hit when the suspects opened fire at the intended target, apparently a driver of a car who told authorities he worked for Uber. A police spokesman wrote on Twitter that the older brother was sentenced to 6 years in prison in 2013 on a gun charge, but was let out early. In a city with as many as 90 shootings a week, homicides in Chicago this year are on track to reach their highest since 1997. All told, over the weekend, 7 killed, 38 injured in shootings in Chicago. It is 19 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to reports of a gunman opening fire at Los Angeles International Airport have turned out to be false. Those reports last night caused panicked people to run out of the airport. Police searched the area but found nothing. Airport officials say a person wearing a Zorro costume was detained during the incident, but that man told ABC News he was unarmed.
2-3 minutes after they approached me, it was over. That was it. So no charge or nothing like that. They said I was cool, everything was clear. It was a misunderstanding.
Flights in and out of LAX were delayed for hours. No to tax returns, but yes to health records. In a tweet yesterday, Donald Trump called on Hillary Clinton to release detailed medical records. He said he was willing to release his records as well. Although Clinton received a clean bill of health from her doctor, some conservative websites are still circulating fake medical records for the Democratic nominee. Three Canadian cruise ship passengers are charged with drug smuggling after police in Sydney say they found 209 pounds of cocaine in their cabin luggage. The haul valued at $23 million is the largest ever seizure in Australia of narcotics carried by passengers of a cruise ship or airliner. Typhoon Lion Rock is approaching the eastern coast of Japan and is poised to cut across areas devastated by the 2011 earthquake and tsunami. The typhoon is packing sustained winds of up to 100 miles an hour and gusts as strong as 134. It's expected to hit east of Tokyo by tomorrow morning. Beyonce owned the MTV Video Music Awards by winning Video of the Year and giving a 16-minute performance featuring her recent hits from Lemonade, working various stages with layered vocals, fancy dance moves, and even an outfit change. Beyonce won the top prize for Formation, besting Adele, Kanye West, Justin Bieber, and Drake. And we may not love remakes and blockbusters, but we still love cheap horror movies. Audiences turned out this weekend for Don't Breathe, which brought in more than $26 million. That's more than double the early predictions for how the scary pick would perform and far beyond the less than $10 million production budget. Suicide Squad came in second, grossing $12.1
million. Hey, a movie made money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Yeah.
For a cheap movie.
That's a great ROI, as they say, right?
Yes,
return
exactly.
On investment. Mm-hmm. Nicely done. Thank you, Jennifer. It's 22 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. Good Monday to you. Here's a cause for concern in the lending industry. More people are defaulting on high-risk auto loans. The percentage of people who qualified for subprime auto loans but are 60 days or more behind on payments reached 4.5% in July. That's a 17% jump from a year earlier, according to Fitch Ratings. It's a story from Greg Gardner at the Detroit Free Press. Greg, what's the scene right now?
As the auto industry in the U.S. has recovered over the last 6 or 7 years, lenders have relaxed their credit standards. So it's become very easy for just about anyone to qualify for a loan. Obviously, that benefited the industry, but there is a day of reckoning, and we're beginning to reach that point. It's not necessarily a crisis today or in the immediate future, but it's certainly a warning sign.
Mm. All right, so what are some of the numbers? We have stats for this?
Yeah. Now, there's a Fitch Research, you know, which is a big credit rating agency, separates the delinquency rate for subprime loans from the delinquency rate on prime loans. Subprime basically are loans made to people with a FICO score of 600 or less. And in July, the percentage of all those auto loans that were at least 60 days late was 4.6%. Okay, to put it in perspective, during the crisis of 2008-2009, that rate would have been closer to 10%. Mm. So we're not at that level today, but it's been increasing pretty steadily over the last year.
All right, so why? Do we know the reasons why this is happening?
Well, again, these were risky loans to begin with, and, you know, the data shows that, you know, personal income has not increased significantly,
yeah.
But, you know, the people, you know, are not necessarily losing jobs, but they still feel a lot of pressure, and they have to decide between which bills get paid and which don't.
Right. We're speaking with Greg Gardner, reporter at the Detroit Free Press. He covers the auto industry. We're talking about his piece entitled Delinquencies Rise on Riskier Auto Loans. Anybody kind of forecasting, Greg, how long this might last? Is there any way to do that?
Well, here's where it gets a little tricky. Like I said, the 4.6%, you know, delinquency rate on subprime is not a crisis, but here's what's going on the flip side. Over the last 5 years, used car prices have held up remarkably well, okay? And that helps everybody because it means you get a better trade-in offer when you go to buy a new one. What's beginning to happen, though, is you have had an increase in leasing. And, you know, leasing is good from the industry standpoint in that people have to come back every 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. The problem is those cars that get turned in at the end of the lease go to an auction. And that supply is growing rapidly. And as we know, as the supply of anything increases, the price decreases.
Yeah.
It's only beginning to show up on smaller and mid-sized passenger cars now. It hasn't affected pickup trucks and SUVs. But, you know, over the next couple years, you could see those used vehicle values fall, too.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Gardner at the Detroit Free Press. Part of the issue, of course, these subprime auto loans are packaged into bundles which are sold to investors, much like mortgages a decade ago before rising interest rates caused many of them to default, eventually triggering, of course, the deepest economic crisis since the Great Depression. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. Or 2000, the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org. to learn more.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Glad you could spend time with us on this Monday, August 29. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Kashenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: delays at LAX after false reports of gunfire. Chicago police arrest two felons for the shooting death of Dwayne Wade's cousin. More than 50 dead after a suicide bomber struck in Yemen. The U.S. will accept its 10,000th Syrian war refugee today. Storm system could bring additional rain to an already flooded Louisiana. A lot of weirdos in awful outfits last night attended the MTV Music Awards. Remember when that show was relevant? And the teacher in Belgium that's taken Pokemon Go in a whole new direction. That story in about 20 minutes. Police departments around the country are taking up renewed efforts to crack down on illegal dirt bikers who take to city streets by the dozen weaving through cars, flouting traffic laws, and popping wheelies for blocks at a time. Police are using helicopter surveillance and well-publicized tip lines. Some cops even hop dirt bikes themselves in pursuit. Authorities say much of the risk for riders, other motorists, and pedestrians stems from the way that the bikers ride. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert in Baltimore. Scott set this up.
You know, these illegal dirt bike riding issues are not new. I mean, you've had this situation in cities for many, many years. And basically what you've got are these dirt bikes. They're sure, you know, the knobby-tired dirt bikes that you typically would see in a dirt trail or a motocross park or something like that. And you also see these three- and four-wheel ATVs. And what happens oftentimes is you'll have groups of riders, sometimes, you know, 20, 30, 50, up to 100, riding together through city streets, weaving in and out of traffic, blowing through red lights, popping wheelies. And, you know, police say it's just a huge public safety hazard. And, you know, they've been trying to find ways to crack down on it.
This is a pretty big deal, huh? What's in Philadelphia, too? This is almost like a, I don't know, like a group that's committed to stopping this, it seems.
Well, in Philadelphia, the police department started an initiative a couple years ago, and they, one thing they do that's interesting, and I don't know of any other police department that does this, they actually have tried to sort of fight fire with fire in the sense of when they sort of figure out where there's a big group of these riders, they will, I don't know exactly how they do this, but they basically dispatch police officers on dirt bikes to sort of surround these guys. And what they say happens oftentimes is they just drop their bikes and run. So that's the way that they've been doing it. But, you know, up in New York, Police Commissioner of the NYPD, Bill Bratton, presided over this event a couple months ago where they lined up a bunch of these confiscated bikes and two bulldozers proceeded to crush them. And, you know, I guess that's NYPD's way of saying, look, you know, we're gonna get your bike and we're gonna destroy it. You know, unless they can find the rightful owner if it's stolen, but they're trying to send a message. But there is a, you know, on the public safety side of it, you know, there have been people who have been killed. In Philadelphia over the last couple of years, I think six riders have died. And here in Baltimore, there was a young woman last May 2015, who was hit by one of these and killed. And another young woman just a couple months ago here who was walking to a Beyonce concert at the Inner Harbor, and she was hit by one of these bikes and fractured her skull. So it's there are consequences, you know, to this thing.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert. His piece is called Cities Look to Grind Dirt Bike Groups to a Halt. So what is it with the cities, I guess, is that there's no place to ride them? I know where I am in New Jersey. There's not a single, you know, state forest or park, I think, where you can ride them. So unless you have a couple acres of your own property, you're out of luck.
Right, and you know, the sort of defenders and some of the bikers themselves say that's the issue, that they ride on the streets because there's no other place to ride. And and I talked to this fellow who is a longshoreman who's been a dirt biker his whole life. He's an African American, and he says, you know, he thinks there's a bit of racism to play too, because a lot of these young men are typically young black men, and he thinks that's a factor as well. But there's a group called the American Motorcyclists Association, and they're pushing the creation of tracks in the city where people can do this legally. You know, the police department here in Baltimore, they're skeptical that people actually would use these tracks, because they say, you know, the thrill is actually riding in the city streets. But out in Cleveland, there's a proposal that's backed by the mayor, Frank Jackson, to create a motocross park precisely for this purpose, and the city council there is going to be taking that up on Wednesday of this week. So there is a push to do that. The question is, you know, whether people would actually use it or not. That remains to be seen.
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert from Baltimore. It's 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know that one of the lasting images of the Rio Olympic Games will be the menacing game face that Michael Phelps was making in the direction of rival Chad Leclos right before the semifinal of the 200-meter butterfly. Hashtag Phelps face quickly took the internet by storm, and Phelps, of course, went on to beat Leclos. The question that has eluded us until now is what exactly Phelps was listening to in his headphones to help him get pumped up. Was it Eye of the Tiger or maybe Enter Sandman? Well, Phelps answered the question last night at the MTV Video Music Awards.
Remember in Rio when I made that face that ended up all over the internet? I was in the zone with Future's track, Stick Talk, blaring in my headphones.
The 23-time gold medal winner was there to introduce the rapper Future before his performance at last night's VMAs.
10 million downloads since Michael Phelps' free publicity last night.
It was great. I went to the YouTube page for the song because I thought about playing it on the show, and then I realized that we might get in trouble with the FCC, so we decided not to. Yeah. But I went to the YouTube page, and it was kind of funny. A bunch of people were there like, look, Michael Phelps sent me here. Michael Phelps in the comments section.
Oh,
Michael Phelps sent me here. So that was pretty funny. Lots of people checking it out.
If we were to play the song or a clip of it on this show, it would largely sound like one giant bleep.
For the most part.
Yeah, he uses the F word extensively. I'm looking at the lyrics. Says, I don't know the song, but I just happen to look up the lyrics. I feel dirty just reading the song.
Yeah, not fit for morning radio.
Brutal.
For sure. And after shedding some weight during the offseason, Gordon, Green Bay Packers running back Eddie Lacy learned Friday that he would be better off losing a little more hair as well. BleacherReport.com says that midway through the first quarter of Friday's preseason game against the 49ers, Lacy picked up 21 yards before being taken to the ground. It was not your typical tackle, however, as Niners linebacker Gerald Hodges grabbed hold of Lacy's dreadlocks to help bring him down. Lacy admitted after the game what we all suspected, that it really hurts to be tackled by your hair. He also admitted that his long locks might need a trim to avoid that happening again. Believe it or not, there is no rule in place in the NFL that prevents other players from tackling you by your own hair. Yeah,
you can grab that hair and yank it if it's hanging out the back of your helmet. That is perfectly legal in the NFL.
And yet there are a lot of players who have those long dreadlocks. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. I think maybe it's almost like a sort of a gentleman's agreement that it doesn't happen all the time. But, I guess if a guy's, going to be running for the end zone with a game-winning touchdown, you can bet that someone's definitely going to do that.
You can't horse collar tackle somebody.
Right.
Well, you can grab their hair and drag them down.
You can yank them down.
I wonder what hurts, though, because I thought that would, hurt your head, I guess. But it would strike me that you just have so much control of somebody's head, he really hurt their neck that way by, good hard yank.
Lacy said he was more worried about his knees, and they started being pulled down from behind was going to hurt his knees.
Right.
Yeah, that's what he was more worried about.
Right, and kind of folding on top of them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's something. Very good. Thank you, Mike. It is 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Time now for a health and wellness report, and it's brought to you by Rite Aid. Get your flu shot at Rite Aid today, free with most insurance plans. Age restrictions apply in some states. See your Rite Aid pharmacist for details. There's a new must-have health item at all those Florida theme parks these days, mosquito repellent, almost as readily available as hand sanitizer. Walt Disney World, SeaWorld, and Universal Orlando are trying to ease concerns tourists may have of being exposed to the Zika virus, which is carried by certain mosquitoes. The good news is that no case of Zika has been found that far north from Miami, which is about 225 miles from Orlando. But public safety officials say it's only a matter of time before the bug reaches the Magic Kingdom. Disney is trying to reassure women, especially in childbearing years, and their partners that it will have repellent on property. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Donald Trump announced he'll be making a speech on illegal immigration on Wednesday in Arizona after a week of speculation that he might be softening his hardline promise to deport 11 million people living in the U.S. illegally. Across the Sunday news show, a parade of Trump stand-ins led by vice presidential nominee Mike Pence didn't say whether Trump was sticking with a central promise to use a deportation force to expel immigrants.
Let's be very clear. Nothing has changed about Donald Trump's position on dealing with illegal immigration. He put this issue at the center of this presidential campaign in the Republican primaries.
The candidate's shifting stance hasn't made it easy for top advisors to explain some of his campaign positions. Two men have been charged in the death of a 32-year-old cousin of Chicago Bulls star Dwayne Wade, who was shot while walking with her baby. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson says brothers Darren and Darwin Sorrells were both out on parole when they shot Nakia Aldridge.
These two offenders are the prime example of the challenge we face here in Chicago with repeat gun offenders that don't care who they shoot, don't care whose life they take, and clearly, clearly don't fear the consequences of their actions.
Johnson says the brothers are aiming for a driver who was dropping off passengers when they missed him but hit Aldridge. South Florida is bracing for possible floods as a system that could become a tropical storm is churning off the coast, threatening the region with several days of heavy rain. Meanwhile, a tropical depression has formed in the Atlantic west of Bermuda, bringing the possibility of heavy rain to the Outer Banks. Latin American music icon Juan Gabriel has died of natural causes in Santa Monica. The 66-year-old sold more than 100 million records during his career. And continuing to play despite a concussion doubles recovery time for teen athletes and leads to worse short-term mental function than those immediately removed from action. The results from the University of Pittsburgh study bolster evidence supporting the growing number of return-to-play laws and policies nationwide. The studies billed as the first to compare recovery outcomes for athletes removed from a game or practice compared with those who aren't.
Mm. I mean, think of all those years, right, in sports like the NFL, where the trainer would run
and
out there.
Soccer, you as a soccer person, I'm just,
well,
scary.
Yes, but just those smelling salts.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, for years.
Right? And the guy gets up, staggers off the field.
Bell was wrong, right?
Bell was wrong. Very good. Right. Take a drink. Let's get back out there. Let me know when you're ready. Oh, man. The stuff we know now is just startling. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Well, if Pokemon Go can get players exercising more, a teacher in Belgium thinks the same concept can get kids to read more. The headmaster of a primary school in Belgium has developed an online game for people to search for books instead of cartoon monsters, attracting tens of thousands. While with Pokemon Go, players use a mobile device's GPS and camera to track virtual creatures around town, the headmaster's version is played through a Facebook group called Book Hunters. He might even create an app for it. Players post pictures and hints about where they've hidden a book, and others go to hunt them down. Once someone has finished reading a book, they, quote, release it back into the wild. Though it was only set up a few weeks ago, more than 40,000 people are already signed up. The hidden books range from kids' books to Stephen King horrors. Placed around Belgian towns and the countryside, often wrapped in clear plastic to keep off the rain. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave a review and comment for us on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.